Rabbi Yisrael from Hoysetin. Shatin. The Satiner. He was a grandson of the Rishoner. And those who know the derech of Rishon, Bayan, Bohosh, and Sadiger, and all the rebbes which come from the Rishoner know that they had a very halten, hidden way, kulo dveikus. And I heard from my Rebbe many times, and it's Yadua, that Kimat never saw them learning. Never saw them being oisik in anything. Everything was always very concealed. But as soon as you walked into the Dalai Lama's of the Rishoner, of any of the children, the descendants of the Rishoner, you knew you were standing in the presence of greatness. Sadiki Ames, Sadiki Yisoid Oila. And although you didn't know what, you couldn't explain it, you never saw anything, anybody who walked into the Dalai Lama's of the Tzaddikim knew right away that they were in the presence of the Shechina Tesha. So he was one of these Tzaddikim. He was Nifter in the 20th century. Rav Chaim Rimzatzal, who we spoke about, I had the schus to know Baruch Hashem. He told over many things about what he saw from him. He lived in Vienna, and then he made his way to Eretz Yisrael. And it's Yaduba that he, when Hitler Yimach Shemai was wanting to come into Eretz Yisrael, so he went to the Tzion with other tzaddikim, the daven at the kever of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And it was well known that davening there and being poel Yeshuas by the kever, by the Tzion of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, was a very important piece of what stopped the Germans Yimach Shemai from coming into Eretz Yisrael. He lived to 91 years old, which was a very big chiddush. And like we said before, he didn't say Torah at the table. He never said Torah, basically. But you can hear a pin drop. He sat at the table, and nobody spoke. Everybody just had their eyes on him. And just by looking at the tzaddik and just being in his Dalai Lama's, the whole oilam was uplifted in ways that nobody could explain. But that's the type of a tzaddik he was, and this was the style and the derech of vision. He said, by the p'tir of his father, who was the son, Vishnu. So, as long as his father was sick, he didn't take off his shoes because he wanted to be mishtatif in the tsar of his father. And so when he passed away on the 37th day of the Omer, when he was coming back from the Levaya, he said, I don't know whether I should be happy, whether I should be sad. How am I going to be Noe Gavelis? So on the one hand, I lost my father. And on the other hand, I can see in Shemayim that there's such a big simcha, that my father's neshama was up there. I don't know how I can be b'tzar seeing the big simcha which is taking place in Shemayim right now. That's the type of a tzaddik he was. He was kemat, not in this world, b'chla. And the stories which you're going to hear tonight in Mitzvah Shem, and the tzari, I didn't get to do all of them, did some of them. There was a little bit of a lachatz tonight, and this week, b'chla, so I didn't get the chance to look over all the stories. But you won't be disappointed anyways, the ones which we're going to share. But it's going to be a very different type of a style which we're used to. Used to the open maisim and the hislavis and the open dveikus. But by the Rebbe, it was not like that at all. He had a certain surah, a surah and a hadras panim, which was a giveaway. Because when you saw his face, you saw the shine in his face, you saw that the Shekhinah was by him. Once he came to the Kaisam Aravi, and there were Arabs there, and whenever he would walk, everybody would make a line that he can go through, a big derech eretz to clear the way, even the Gayim. So the one Arab said to the other one, he said, Tom, who is this? Why is everybody moving out of the way? So he says, Das is the Melech Yisrael. I didn't say it in Yiddish. He said, This is the Melech Yisrael. They called him the Melech Yisrael. This is the king of the Jews. That's what they said. They didn't know who he was, but they could see. I mean, he would give off such a kedusha to everybody around him, that even the Gayim, that they understood the greatness, Melech Yisrael. One of the ways that he was master himself, that he would hide himself, that when he was in Vienna, Rav Gedalia Shor said that he would walk with a newspaper in his pocket, as if he was like a commoner, you know, that he would read the news, and you know, that's how he went. I told you, I once saw Rav Chaim Brim when I once came to see him, and again, he was from beyond, and so he was always, he came out, never saw him learning, he would hide himself and hide. He had to deal with his Rebbetzin. Sometimes he would learn 18 hours straight. And as soon as somebody would knock on the door, there was an understanding that whatever Svarim he had out, he would have to put them away first before she opened the door. And he would make himself sitting at the table as if nothing was going on. Even if he would learn hours and hours straight, 10, 15, 18 hours. I saw this myself once. I knocked on the door, and it was a while till the door answered. Finally, I walked in, Chaim Brim was sitting on the couch reading a newspaper.
Anything good?
Huh? Fooled me. Fooled me until I spoke to one of his closest Talmidim, and I said, oh, see, you fell for Chaim Brim's moves. But this is the way. This is the way. Everything was concealed. You didn't see any learning. You didn't see any davening. You didn't see anything. You just were in the Dalai Lama's and you knew the Shekhinah was there. That's it. That's it. But it was Yadua. He was a Bucky in Taira Kola Taira Kula. You can ask him a Shailin anything. Niglas and Nister, the whole Taira was open up to him, although nobody ever saw him learning anything. Whether it was in Klaim and Orla, all this, any Sugya, in Halacha, anywhere, you can speak to him and he knew everything. In fact, his nephew, the Abbe Yaakov from Tzadiger. So he once, a runner from the Agudas Yisrael once come to speak to him about something, and he said, what are you coming to me? Have you gone to my uncle? Gone to my uncle? So he said, no. So he said, how could you not go to my uncle, such a tzaddik? He says, Kol Kisvi Ariya Kodesh are in his palm of his hand. Kol Kisvi Ariya in the palm of his hand. You're coming to me for questions? But that was his way. He hid himself. But he couldn't hide himself from everybody. The Barbar Lebelzer, the Tzaddik Yisrael Olam, he used to refer to him as Rebbe. He called him Rebbe, which was like unheard of. Barbar Lebelzer was an undisputed Tzaddik of the generation. We spoke about Barbar Lebelzer. But he would send people to the Hoysatina. They would send it to him. In fact, somebody once came to Barbar Lebelzer with Sveikus and Amuna. This is after the war, and many people, of course, they struggled in Amuna Bitachan after the war. So they came to Rabbi Lebelzer for chizuk. So he said, oh, chizuk, you need an emunah v'tachon? You should go to the tzaddik, the Hoysatina. Which is a big chiddush, because Rabbi Lebelzer survived the war, and he lived with Misa in the flow. So there was nobody who was an amud of emunah v'tachon, like Rabbi Lebelzer, and the Chazal Magrebi, and the Samarov, and other tzaddikim. But he said, go to the Hoysatina. He didn't go through the war. So he sent him, and he came to the tzaddik. So he said, what can I do for you? So he says, I'm struggling with my emunah. So the Hoysatina said, oh, so I'm also struggling with my emunah. I'm also, every night I ask Rabbanu Shalom, please help me with my emunah and my bitach. You could do the same. That's what he said to him. You could do the same. That's what he felt. There was another such person who came to Rabbi Lebelzer with the Sfekis of emunah bitachin after the war. And again, he said, oh, this is a shayla for the tzaddik, for Hoysatina. So he sent him to him, to Yerushalayim, where he was at the time. So he asked the Shamish if he can go in. He said, it's not hours that the Rebbe is seeing anybody. So he said, please, I came a long way from Tel Aviv. Can I please come in to see the Rebbe now? So, okay, let me ask the Rebbe. So he knocks on the door. He says, there's a Yid here from Tel Aviv. He says he has something he wants to ask you. So he says, okay, yeah, tell him to come in. So as soon as he opened up the door, the Rebbe looks at him and he says, you're from Tel Aviv? You have something which you want to ask? And the Yid said he froze. And all of his shilas and mamuna bitacha went away. Second he said that. Tel Aviv, you have something you want to ask? Boom. Just those holy words out of his mouth. He said, he turned and he said, I have nothing. No, I have nothing to ask. And he just picked up and he left. Somebody once handed him a kvittel, which is a kvittel klali, which had all the names. There was many Yidden who had perished in the Holocaust. And they brought a kvittel. They didn't know who survived and who was alive from the kvittel. But when they saw the Rebbe, he looked at the kvittel and he would cross out the names of the people who weren't there, just like that. Boom, 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 down, alive, alive, cross it out like this. And it's just from looking at the kvittel right away. A whole list. He knew just from looking at their names what was going on, wherever they were. When he was a young boy, his father, this is Ein Amanah, someone who heard it from him, his father took him into a stroll near the city, Lefaisitim. And when we ventured out into the forest a little more, I started to hear voices. He said I was about 6 years old. I heard voices that saying, Rebbe, give us a tikkun, give us a tikkun. He says, I looked around and I didn't see anybody. Didn't know where the voices were coming from. So I asked, very innocently, my father, says, I hear people talking to you, but I don't see anybody. So my father looked at me and his face was aghast. He said, what did you say? So he had to repeat it. He says, you really hear that? So he says, I'm geyser on you. You shouldn't tell anybody. As long as I live. And he says, he put his hand on my ear. And he says, from this point on, you're not going to hear these calls anymore. But don't tell anybody that you heard such things. You heard the neshamas and we were in the forest coming and asking me for a tikkun. He said, when I told this to my mother after my father passed away, because he couldn't say anything while his father was alive. When I told this to my mother, she said she was also astounded that her young son heard those things. And she said, I also too would hear these kolos. Like they would come from the window, meaning it wasn't just in the forest. They were coming in the house too. And the shamas would come to Tati during the day and the night. And they would say, no, Rebbe, give us a tikkun, give us a tikkun. And once I asked my husband, I asked Tati, you know what happened? What's going on? He says, don't tell anybody as long as I'm alive. Yeah. That you should heard such a things. He says, but now that he's not alive, so we can talk about it. But I'm so happy that you too were able to hear such kaidas. Because she was very proud that she had a heilige son, that even at a young age she was able to hear such things. We'll speak a little bit about his avodas Hashem. As we said before, that when the Rebbe would daven, he davened with a pashut sitter. He never shuckled, and he always stood in one place. Come on, you didn't say anything. And he said the words, mamish b'pshitas. Rebbe Elio Roth, who was the gabbai of Shlomo Zviller, we spoke about Shlomo Zviller. Rather, Shlomo Zviller said that, you know, when he first came to Eretz Yisrael, He hid himself. Nobody knew that he was a rebbe, that when he came from Europe. And he went a very long time like that, without anybody knowing who he was. But when he came to the Kaisel, and the Hoysetina saw him, so he knew right away who he was, but he didn't want to blow his cover. So they basically sat next to each other. Nobody said anything, although he knew just from looking at him that he was an Ish Kaddish. And later, Shlomo Zviller said about him, he said, he's like hot coals, which is covered in ashes, meaning that he conceals himself so that nobody sees. He said, I could see, but nobody else can see his Kedusha, but big people were able to see. So his Gabbai, we spoke about him, Aurelio Roth, was also a big Kaddish, and he said that he once had this chus to daven mincha, just a mincha during the week with the tzaddik. He said he davened with the pashat seder, like we said. He said, "Mu yochel l'tara." He says, "You can't even put into words." He said, "Hu amar mila b'mila kiyelat katan." He said each word like a child. When he said kaddish, he sparach, v'shtabach, v'spar, v'svaimam. He says every word which he said. He says he cut through my flesh like a knife. Every one of his words cut through my flesh like a knife. So he said. He says on. Rav Chaim Bim saw that story about the Avelis, the Simcha and Shemayim. Chaim Bim told over that story. No, but this story is not. Rechav Shikvi Rebbe told over this story. The current Rechav Shikvi Rebbe. He said that the bracha of Avos by the tzaddik took a very long time. He used to daven Shemona Esrei and Rosh Hashanah. The first bracha took hours. Just the first bracha, the bracha of Avos. So once they saw that he was taking extra long time. And the pages weren't moving. So he said, once asked him, he said, why are you taking so long? I have kavanas from my grandfather, the Maggid. So he said that one time it was taking extra long. And they came and they looked to see what was going on. And they saw that he was tittering. He was trembling. And so one of the Gabbayim came and he turned the page for the tzaddik. And as soon as he turned the page, he was able to continue davening. And he was in such a tzitter, he was in such a pacha for the Boy Olam, during the Shemona Esrei that he did, he couldn't turn the page. So the reason why he wasn't going right there wasn't because he wasn't ready to move on. He was in such a pacha from the Ribbono Shel Olam that he couldn't turn the page. So as soon as somebody came and turned the page, so then he was able to go right there. And Chaim Brim told over, Sechatzad of Kaddish Tavracha, says, I was zecha with my own eyes to see the tzaddik Davin Rashem Kippur Shemona Esrei, that he stood there, he didn't move for 3-4 hours in a kulo dvekis. He says the only thing with his lips would move tiny, tiny bit. His eyes were up and you can only see the white in his eyes. He was not in this world at all. And I realized at that time that the entire world is standing on his shoulders. That's what he said. The whole world is on his shoulders. And being machriya the oilam lakavschos. He had a very big avodah on Hoshana Rabbah, but when he would shake the lulav, it was something extra special. The tzaddikim would say that we don't see any avodah by the Hasatina the whole year, except when it comes Sukkot time. He shows us a little bit. What do you mean? He says the dvekis by the nanuim or the abraminim was something which was you could not believe. So Rabbi Elio Roth, the Gabbai of Shlomo Zvila, said, I saw my own eyes how he would hold the lulav and he wouldn't move. And his face looked like he was a geise, so he was going to pass out, he was going to die. That's what his face looked like. And everybody stood around him in a pachad, utter pachad, when he would shake the lulav. Again, it wasn't that everybody was able to see, he didn't shake the lulav and I go crazy. Everybody in the presence of the shaking of the lulav felt that he was ish kodesh shalakim like no other time. Again, like everything else, it was bepashtus. But it took hours and hours shaking the lulav. And he said that he would shake hours and hours and hours, but very gently, very much like, you know, as if he wasn't exerting any energy. As soon as he would take off his talus, his entire body was dripping in sweat. Dripping in sweat. Why? Because first of all, he was working very hard, just in a way everything was concealed because of the pachad. The pachad is standing in the Boya Olam. And Chazal say about the malachim and the srafim, that the rivers in Shammai were made from the dripping sweat of the malachim because of the pachad of the Boya Olam. That was the types of rivers which he made when he would stand in front of the Yibishter and his Avodas Hashem. And this took place even in his night when he was 90 years old. The Avodah like that. Hours. And when he left the end to go to Eretz Yisrael, where he spent the later half of his life, so many tzaddikim, many of his chassidim, they accompanied him to the train and to as far as they could go. And when he got onto the train to say goodbye, everybody broke out in a huge bechi, a cry, or mamish wailing. The people were wailing to say goodbye to the tzaddik. And they said, Rebbe, somebody's got ready. What are we going to do now that you're gone? What are we going to do? He said, when the Vitebsker left his chassidim to go to Eretz Yisrael, so he told them, if there's anything which you need from me, just write it down on the paper, and that'll be okay. That's what he said to them. Just write it down on the paper. But he didn't say to do that for me. It was understood that he meant the same thing. But he said, when the Vitebsker went to Eretz Yisrael, he said, write it down on the paper what you need, and I'll take care of it. And he left them with that. But the tzaddikim said that if he said that, that means that he was on the Madreika to do the same thing. He didn't have to send it to him. All he had to do was write it on the paper, and wherever you are in the world, I'm going to take care of it for you. And once he did, he was shalom bayis difficulties, and the wife wanted to get divorced, and the husband didn't agree. And the father of the kala of the wife was very bitsad, didn't know what to do. So he said, I'll go to Hoisatina and I'll. He's in Hashemes, he's a part of Yeshua, so he'll help us out. So he poured out his heart to the tzaddik. So and he told him that one of your chevra he has apparently some type of kesher to the Gaza vision. So he said, oh, is that right? So he said, so tell him to come. Come to me. So he came to the Rebbe, and as soon as he walked in, the Rebbe said, come, I want to take you to the Aron Svarim. And he opened up Maseches Kiddushin, and he opened up to the first Mishnah. And he says, what does it say here? Read the first Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the kones atzmo b'shnei drachim, that a woman, she's kona herself back with two ways. Begatu b'misa saba. So the Rebbe said, you have two ways to do this. Begatu b'misa saba. So he was obviously was going to mess around with that. So he gave a get right away. I mean, there were stories like that where, you know, people didn't take the, you know, his suggestions seriously. There was the Chibiner when he came to Yerushalayim. We haven't spoken about the Chibiner Rav, but when he came to Yerushalayim, so he was staying at a hotel, and the Hoysatiner, he wanted to raise money for the Chibiner Rav, that he should have a dira. So he reached out to his people, and everybody donated generously, except one Gvir who refused to give money. So one night of the Pesach Seder, he had his whole Meshpacha there, and he said he started going out of his kelim. He was losing his mind. But Mamash losing his mind. He was going meshuga. And when they saw that this was, nothing was happening, and they were davening, nothing was happening, so they asked the Hoysatiner for, you know, what's going on, if they could help him. So he said, what do you think, that he's going to sit at his table like a melech, everything is okay, and the Chibiner Rav is not going to have a house to live in, and everything's going to be okay for him? You think that's going to be okay? So as soon as they realized, so they made sure he gave the money, and as soon as they gave the money, he had a refuah. Just one couple more things. Before he passed away, so he was living in Tel Aviv, and he couldn't leave the house. He was 91 years old. But it came time that he asked the doctor. He had a firm doctor who was a very dedicated doctor. His name was Dr. Langer. If he can go outside. It was a very cold night, and the doctor said, there's no way, it's not healthy for you. And he said, no, I have to go outside. And he said, okay, Rebbe, you can go outside. As long as you put on a coat, then you go out very quickly. And he agreed. He went outside to the Rechov Ha'ir, and he said the following words. He lifted his up eyes to the heavens, and he said, as long as a Yid is in this world, as long as a Yid is in his house, and he sees the walls which were made by Maisi the Adam, by Nan, so he says it brings his mind to things which are not good. But as soon as Yid goes outside and he sees Hashem's handiwork, he sees the stars, he sees the heavens and the trees and the ground and the mountains, that they haven't changed from Maisa Bereshis, and they stand exactly the way that they are, and that they're Davuk to the Mekusher to the Borei Olam, when a Yid sees that, he said that the Yad Adam hasn't touched them, how can he not have a chizuk from seeing that? And a few days later, he passed away. Of course, he was referring to himself. I mean, he wanted to see them, but he was talking about himself, that he was like those trees, that the way that the Adam was created, Yitzik Ha'apa Shalak Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says, that was his madriga. I mean, the way that the Adam was made, like this tree, it's exactly the way the Eibishter made it. He says, that's what he was basically saying about himself. You know, there was once somebody who came with a dibuk. What a dibuk is, yeah? They came to him with a dibuk. They mentioned in front of him, you know, that there was a dibuk. So he just said, the whole thing will blow over. Nobody will remember it. So that was his response. I mean, tzaddikim, who were dovek bashan, didn't like to deal with tumas and things like that. He says, nobody will remember this. So on the way back home already, so the person who had the dibuk stopped by a tree, and barfed, basically. And as soon as that happened, he was totally fine. After that, he became like a new mensch. And even though people were talking about it, it was like the talk of the town. As soon as that happened, that he expelled whatever the dibuk was in him when he did that, everybody forgot about it. Nobody remembered. But just his two words, and nobody will remember it. Just like that. He was misaking the whole Indian, and nobody remembered it. It was just like that. He had to just say just a couple words, and then that's it. They found, we'll just end with this, that they found a Kisvei HaKodesh from him, something written that he wrote about himself. He said, when I daven Shmona Esrei and I come to the words V'navshi ka'ofer la'kol tiyah, that I should be like offer, I should be like dust to the earth to everyone, my nech be'emes, I should mean it, I should really mean it. That's what he wrote about himself. I should really mean it when I say it. Well, that means, this is his last words when he passed away. His very, very last words. This is on his mouth. His last words were Malchuscha Malchus Kol Olamim. This is his last words. Malchuscha Malchus Kol Olamim. This is the Melech Yisrael, right? Melech Yisrael of Klal Yisrael, crowns of Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, "Malchus Malchus Kavolam," the King, all kings, and all the universes. Schosi Yagelin Elat Klal Yisrael.